Well, a very good day to you, Leo Laporte, here with our show, Before You Buy. It's the product review show where everybody at the Twit Brick House gets to take a look at products and give us their thoughts. Tony Wang, I think he waited in line for this, the PS Vita. He'll have a review of that in just a little bit. We also have the Lenovo IdeaPad with our very own Eileen Rivera. Nicole Lee will review this phone. And I have a mystery product and a mystery reviewer coming up. You got to remember to watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package with your own computer and printer for a $110 bonus offer, including $55 free postage. Visit Stamps.com and use the offer code Before You Buy. Welcome to Before You Buy. Leo Laporte here. We've got some great products this week on Before You Buy. Actually, we're going to start with this one. We haven't really seen much of Tony Wang since he got his PlayStation Vita. He was so excited when it came. I have a feeling he likes it, but let's find out. Tony Wang with our review of the Vita.
I'm Tony from Twit, and today I'm reviewing the PlayStation Vita, Sony's newest portable gaming system. The PlayStation Vita has been a long time coming. I've had the original one, and that had two iterations, and it even evolved into a PSP Go, which everybody hated. The PSP Go was basically the PlayStation phone, but without the phone capability. So really quick on the specs, quad core. Yes, it's quad core. It's got 512 megabytes of RAM. The newest and most notable feature is the 5-inch capacitive touchscreen, and you can see right here it's very bright, just like the Nintendo 3DS. Outdoor, kind of washed out, but not much you can do about it, so you can play in the shade. It's got two analog joysticks, so that's like a first for any portable gaming system. Nintendo has one, and they decided to add another one with their stick dual port, no. What do they call their, I forgot. And you got your directional and your four functional keys. There's one more feature I didn't mention earlier, is the back touch panel. People call it touch screen, it's not a screen, it's a touch panel. You can see it's actually indicated by these triangles, squares, circles, and X's. So it's multi-touch, I believe two fingers, maybe more, I'm not sure. The only game that I actually encountered that used it is the Facebook app. actually Katamari uses it too, but I don't use it. On the Facebook app, you can actually scroll through your Facebook using this. And it was very confusing because I launched the app for the first time and I'm holding my Vita like this and my pictures are sliding off the pages. I have no idea what was going on, and it was the back touch. Yeah. So my favorite feature of this system right now is actually the 3G. And you know, it's not for everybody. You have to get a service with AT&T, and it's going to be $30 a month for, I believe, 3 gigabytes. And there's no contract, so that's a good thing. So it's not like getting a tablet from AT&T where you have to have a 2-year contract. So what 3G allows you to do is use this Near app, which actually shows who in your vicinity is playing with their Vita, and what they're playing, and their ranking, and the trophies that they have, and it even encourages you to beat them. Speaking of social, they're also pushing a bunch of other social features. There's Twitter now, there's Facebook, there's Foursquare, and the Twitter app, surprisingly, is actually my favorite Twitter app out of, you know, the desktop version, out of the iOS, and out of the Android version, so that's really cool. There's even Flickr. I mean, nobody uses Flickr anymore, but you can actually upload the pictures that you take with your front and rear VGA cameras. I know you're all, like, groaning right now because it's VGA, but they really put these cameras in there just for the augmented reality, which is okay. I actually prefer the augmented reality in the 3DS because it's 3D. So it's actually, you know, it's actually popping out at you. So as we all know, Sony really likes their proprietary ecosystem. So we got a proprietary game card for the physical games that you buy. So this is Touch My Katamari. We got these very, very tiny memory cards. They're about the same size as a micro SD card, but again, very similar, but at the same time, completely different. Pros of the Vita, real controls for real video games. I mean, I got my Galaxy Note. It's got a bigger display. It would never game as well as a PS Vita. So if you're a real gamer, this is the system for you. Battery life is not as bad as everybody say. With over 2,000 mAh battery, you get 3-4 hours of gameplay, depending on the game. The con of the system, the camera is just barely adequate. I mean, it's really good for snapshots, if any. I mean, if you're a big fan of Instagram, this is not the camera for you. Another thing that I find awkward is this back touch panel. I mean, we're just not used to having controls on the back of the system, you know, back of the controller, you know, from Xbox or PlayStation. But I'm sure, you know, once you get used to it, it'll actually be functional. But in the meantime, that's a con. Buy, try, or don't buy, it is definitely a buy for me. Everybody's always saying how gaming has changed. Mobile gaming is now all on their smartphones, and you know, if you're a real gamer, you know that's not true. Tony for Twit. This is the PS Vita. All my bus is here, so I'm gonna go catch it.
Someday that bus will come and get Tony. we'll get him back. I have to agree with him, though. The screen is spectacular, the little kitty cat and all of that. The PS Vita. Our next review comes from Eileen Rivera, who produces many of our shows, including Twit, the big shoe. And, of course, she's the host of All About Android. That's why we give her the Android products when they come in. This is the Lenovo IdeaPad. Let's see what Eileen Rivera thinks.
Hey everyone, Eileen Rivera here for Twit.tv. And before you buy today, I have an ultra cheap Android tablet. This one is called the Lenovo A1 IdeaPad tablet. Cheap, $199. It really puts it on par with the Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet that's out today. Let me show you what is going on with this. This is a 7-inch display, has a really nice curved bezel, so it feels really good in the hands when you hold it. This has an LED display. It's also single core. And it's running Gingerbread, which is really interesting. I think because it's single core, that's why it's not running Honeycomb, which is the predominant OS on many Android tablets today. It has a front-facing and rear camera here. It's only 3 megapixels, but you could still do some, you know, video conferencing calls with it. This unit here itself has 16 gigs of internal storage, but there's also a micro SD card slot here. You can expand that up to 32 gigs. There's the speaker there. Let's talk a little bit about battery life. Battery life is pretty decent out of the box. I didn't have to charge it for about 3 days. The other thing that they're touting here is offline maps. So once you download all the maps that come with the NavDroid app here, you can actually essentially put this on your dashboard and use it like a GPS device, doesn't need Wi-Fi. All right, let's talk about performance. Now you can see here as I'm kind of scrolling back and forth, it's a little jaggy here, and you got to be careful when you scroll between app icons. Make sure in the app drawer that you don't actually touch one of the icons. You could possibly launch one of those apps. Other thing about this device, some games load very, very slowly, and I think that would be very, very, very frustrating for, say, kids who play. It's going to take a while. It's a really good game. I want to show you. It's taking a while. Oh, hey! This one's Fragger. One more thing about the device. It comes in other colors. I have the black one here, but it comes in blue, pink, and white. Okay, let's talk pros and cons. Price, $199, again, on par with the Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet. And it has more content because you can get the Android marketplace. You're not locked down to one kind of particular OS like Amazon is. But I have to say, some of the experience is just kind of meh. I actually like the sophisticated experience of the Kindle Fire and, in some ways, the reading experience on the Nook tablet a little bit better. And offline maps is actually a really nice feature to this. Some of the cons. Hearing conflicting reports, but apparently this might not be upgradable from Gingerbread, which is what it's running right now. And also, if you notice, some of the apps and widgets don't scale very well on the 7-inch device. The LED display, when you tilt it, the viewing gets a little muddy, not so great. You have to really kind of look at it head on. And also the touch sensitivity. Some of it just doesn't work very well. My solution was to actually run another launcher called Go Launcher X, and it worked a little bit more seamlessly. I hesitate to recommend this because if you were experiencing Android for the first time, I think you will be very, very frustrated, and that's not the kind of experience I want you to have with your first Android device. So, is this a buy, try, or don't buy? For me, this is such a meh device. I say save your pennies or maybe get the Kindle Fire. This is a don't buy.
It's true, you get what you pay for. Actually, Eileen's very excited about the new Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7, the Galaxy Note 7.7. She's going to do that next week. I have a feeling she'll like that one a little bit better. And probably in 2 weeks, we'll have a review of the new iPad. And that'd be the tablet to get, I think. Before we go on, Nicole Lee's got a review of the Samsung Bright Side, and I'm going to take a look at these mystery products with a mystery guest. But first, let's talk a little bit about Stamps.com, our sponsor. I think I've told you about Stamps many times. I hope you know about Stamps. Man, we use it. In fact, there was a fight going over the USB scale, so we got another one from Stamps.com. What is it? Well, it allows you to print official postage, U.S. postage, from your computer, and your printer knows special ink. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need anything but Stamps.com, Mac or PC. Stamps.com will always print the right postage with that USB scale, so you just put the package or the letter right on the scale. Print out the right postage. If it's international, they'll do it all just right, including fill out the forms for you. And what's great is you never have to go to the post office. And these days with post office closings, long lines to buy the new stamps, it's just crazy to go to the post office. Stamps.com brings the post office right to your desk, and I think you're going to love it. We have a very special no-risk trial for you. You're going to love this. Stamps.com, go right there, click that radio microphone at the top, and use the offer code before you buy. All one word, before you buy, you get a $110 bonus offer, including the digital scale, free, $55 free postage, and, of course, a month of Stamps.com. $55 free postage, and all you have to do is visit the website, Stamps.com, click the big microphone there. You'll see an $80 offer. We want you to give the $110 offer. You got to click the microphone and use the offer code before you buy, all one word. Stamps.com will save you money, too. They've got discounts you can't get at the post office at Stamps.com. Poor Nicole Lee. She came to us from CNET, where she got to review every single one of the great, brand-new, hot phones. And she comes here, and all she gets is this? Well, maybe it is a great phone. Let's find out. Nicole Lee with the Samsung Bright Side.
I'm Nicole Lee from Twit and the producer of this very show you're watching right now. I'm reviewing the Samsung Bright Side from Verizon Wireless. This is not an Android smartphone. This is just a regular old quote-unquote dumb phone. But you know, for a dumb phone, it has a few features. It has email and a document viewer, so you can view your usual Microsoft Office documents as well as Adobe PDFs. It also has mobile email, and it also has a interesting text messaging functions for your social networks like Facebook, Twitter, and so on. I have to say the display here is not very reminiscent of its name. It's not very bright, as its name suggests. In fact, it's a 3.2-inch QVGA display, kind of a lower resolution on here, kind of muddy looking, not very sharp either, so we weren't really pleased with the display. Because it is a feature phone, it doesn't have a particular operating system like Android, BlackBerry, or anything like that. It has its own custom Samsung operating system. Kind of mediocre, very expected for a phone in this particular category. Underneath the display, you get the usual phone controls like talk and end and cancel here. The good thing about this phone is that it has a slide-out QWERTY keyboard for all you texting fans out there. On top of the phone is a 3.5mm headset jack, and on the back is a 3.2-megapixel camera. This feature phone even has a micro SD card slot on the back. Other features on this phone include Verizon's 3G network. You won't get support for 4G LTE on a simple phone like this, but you do get EVDO at least. This phone also comes with a few apps, very simple brew apps like Uno, Tetris, things like that. Because it has 3G support, you also get a mobile web browser on here. It runs Opera Mini, which is pretty good for a simple phone like this. You also get mobile email, which is kind of janky, not the best email interface in the world, but that's all you get for the bright side. Let's move on to the pros of this device. The pros are it's very small and lightweight, very compact form factor, as you can see here. And the keyboard is very good for texting fans. The battery life on this thing is amazing. We've left it on for days at a time. It still keeps on going. Now for the cons. The bright side, as I said, is a very simple phone. The display isn't much. The camera isn't that great. And for the features, it's a bit expensive at around $100 with a new two-year contract. The only reason I can think of you would get this instead of a smartphone is if you want to avoid the data plan. And if you have a younger kids that you don't mind messing around with a simple phone like this. As for buy, try, or don't buy, I have to say don't buy. It's just too expensive for what you get.
I don't know if Nicole slammed it enough. When I look at this screen, it looks like an old Nokia phone or something. I mean, it really is ugly, low quality, and for $99, get a better phone. Absolutely. So I want to review something that I've bought before and I will buy again. These are powered speakers. They're great speakers. For computers, or I actually use them on my TV set. They're stereo speakers. These are the Audio Engine speakers. I've used Audio Engine 2s, the less expensive one, as smaller speakers for my computer, but I use these in the living room. These are the Audio Engine 5 Pluses. A pair of powered speakers, that's really important. That means you don't have to have a big amp for them. A pair of powered speakers, $399, which is pretty good for a pair of speakers. I'll turn them around. The 5 Pluses just came out, and they have some additional features over the 5, including a heat sink, because, yeah, believe it or not, you can generate a lot of heat. A USB cable, which is really nice. The audio doesn't play through the USB cable, but it does charge the device. Here, let me get my iPhone. Dropped it down here. It does charge the device while you use it. Because it's powered, you can play a device like an iPod or an iPhone, but it also could hook up to your computer. I hook it up for the television set. Pretty simple to set up. You've got mini jack that goes for the input, comes out of the iPhone to the input. There's also RCA inputs and outputs, and I'll tell you what we use those for in just a little bit. And then speaker wire, which goes from this, which is the left channel, over to the right channel here. Shall I play a little bit for you? It's going to be hard to tell, but I can tell you from my own experience when you're in the room with this, I'll play a little of our friend Jonathan Colton's music here because I'm such a fan of Jonathan. Let's see. How about Creepy Doll? I have to tell you, the sound quality in these is excellent. The high end is very clear and crisp. I'll turn down the... because it can get really loud. It's very clear, it's very crisp. The low end is rich. These are great little speakers. And in fact, they sound so good that my son Hank uses them for mixing. He does a lot of electronic music. Hank is here. Come here, Hank. Come here. Just all I have to do is say, just tell me, do you like these speakers?
Yes.
How about the subwoofer?
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's solid. It completely vibrates the house. And I'll tell you what, we'll turn on the subwoofer. It's down here. It's kind of heavier, and it's an additional cost of several $100. It's a big, heavy thing. It fires down, as you can see. There's the speaker, so that goes on the floor. I'll just turn up the bass a little bit. When you've got the bass going or the subwoofer, the total is $399 for the pair, and if you decide to add the sub also from Audio Engine, it adds another $300 or $400, but the sound quality is just superb. And Jonathan Colton really doesn't give you an example of how good the bass can sound. What did I do? Did I turn it off? I think I dropped it. Do you hear it? I hear it. How great things were before. It's kind of wimpy. Let's get something better here. Okay, this is a little bit better. Get a little bit more. Crank up the volume. Anyway, these are the Audio Engine 5 pluses from AudioEngineUSA.com. You can buy them direct. I got them on Amazon. $3.99 the pair. If you really want a lot of bass, I think the bass is great even without it. If you really want a lot of bass, get the subwoofer too. Listen to the high end. Doesn't that sound good? I should play some of your music. Let me play some of your music. No? No? All right. Journey's going to sue us. It'd be better to play your music. Anyway, that's my review. The pros and the cons. The pros, excellent sound quality. I think for speakers at $399, they're really good. The very good low end, although the ability to pair it with an additional sub that gives you an even better low end is fantastic. These are powered. That's a real pro if you have a computer or an iPod or some other device that doesn't have enough power to drive full speakers and you don't want to buy an amp. The amplifier is built in. The cons, well, as you can see, they're a little big. You could spend $70 more and get a bamboo enclosure that might be a little bit prettier, a little bit more acceptable in the living room. But I think that, you know, that's not horrible. And they are pricey. I mean, you can get less expensive computer speakers, but I don't think you can get better computer speakers. The Audio Engines, I give them a definite buy. In fact, I just did. So that's it for Before You Buy. I want to thank our reviewers, Tony Wang, Nicole Lee, and Eileen Rivera for doing such a great job. And thank you for watching. You can watch this show, of course. We do a little bit of it live at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays from the Twit Brick House. But if you missed any of it, of course, you can watch it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit. We often put the individual reviews there as well, so it makes it easy for you if you're just interested in a particular product, youtube.com/twit. And if you miss the show, don't worry. It's on iTunes. It's on the Zune Marketplace. Anywhere you can get better podcasts, just to look for Before You Buy. Leo Laporte here signing off, reminding you, you got to watch Before You Buy.